All right. You're listening to Green Left Radio. And for our second interview for the program, we are very happy to have Sarah Sanada, who is a member of the Sudanese community in Melbourne. And she has also been heavily involved in solidarity campaigning around Sudan. And yeah, just for kind of listeners' information, because we have previously kind of covered what's been happening in Sudan, but essentially, since October, there has been this massive kind of movement against a military coup by the military kind of general, and that has sort of promoted, you know, mass kind of struggle on the streets and so on. There's also been lots of police repression as well of this movement. So yeah, good morning, Sarah.
Morning, Jacob.
Yeah, and I guess maybe to kind of start off, what can you, tell us, about some of the kind of latest kind of developments that have kind of occurred in the kind of past month or so within Sudan, especially in terms of this mass movement that is mobilizing against the military coup?
First of all, I'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which I am at the moment, which is the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. And I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Islanders peoples listening to the show today, and acknowledge that this land always was and always will be Aboriginal land. I would also like to use this platform to first acknowledge the sacrifices of our martyrs, the martyrs of the Sudanese revolution who gave up their lives for freedom, peace, and justice in Sudan. Now, back to your question. On the 25th of October, the military staged a coup, overthrowing the Sovereignty Council in power and cutting off phone and internet access across the country, and violently cracking down on all civilian protests, as you probably have discussed in your show. And then on October 30th was the first call for a millions march across Sudan. Millions of people turned out across Sudan in very well-coordinated millions march against the coup. And since then, we've witnessed the Rapid Support Forces, which are, you know, a military junta group that was created by authoritarian ruler Omar Bashir. So we've witnessed the RSF and the military personnel carrying out sweeping arbitrary arrests, including the prime minister and his cabinet at some point. There was targeted shooting and killing of peaceful, unarmed civilian protesters on a daily basis. Since then, we've had 6 million marches organized, and basically in response to the military coup, and then they continued after the sham of an agreement that Prime Minister Hamdok signed with the putschists. According to the Central Committee of Sudanese Doctors, we have at least 44 people who have been killed at the hands of the military and the Rapid Support Forces so far, and hundreds of people wounded. Tactics of fear and humiliation still exercised on the streets, like beating up citizens, using sticks and boots on the streets, including women and children, sieging whole neighborhoods and suburbs, and cutting off bridges to prevent people from expressing their will. And so in response to all that, the local resistance committees have issued a plan to continue with the millions marches. So the announced dates we have so far are on the 13th of December, the 19th of December, the 25th, and the 30th of December, making it a total of 11 million marches since the coup on October 25th.
Yeah.
We're also seeing a lot of organizing happening to strengthen the local government in the neighborhood at the neighborhood level.
Mm.
And, yeah. That's it in a nutshell. Sorry, I feel like it's
hard
for too long.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you've given a kind of like very good kind of update. And I think I wanted to kind of hone in, I guess, to kind of one kind of detail. And I think this has been something that is quite been a bit noticeable in the news, because I guess in response to this, clearly in response to this mass movement, the kind of military is clearly starting to feel some kind of pressure. And so I wanted to kind of hear your comments about, because on November 21st, there was essentially a deal kind of made with the kind of, well, from my understanding, the kind of what is sort of considered the civilian sort of government within Sudan, and with the Marine, the military, which has basically, this has basically been a deal which has reinstated the Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok to essentially lead the cabinet in two elections in July 2023. And in fact, I read another sort of article that the military basically said, "Oh, yeah, we'll be out of power, we'll stop ruling, but that won't happen until July 2023. So I guess what has been the response of the movement to this? And, you know, because this is in some sense a concession, but it's also my reading from it from afar is basically in a sense they're trying to cling on to their power as much as they possibly can.
Exactly. I mean, first of all, I want to note that the country is currently still under the state of emergency announced by the military genocidal murderer General Burhan on October 25th. This Emergency and Protection of Public Safety Act that they're using, which it basically just gives them limitless power for an unlimited period. They have the right to raid homes, they have the right to seize funds, they prohibit regular movement of persons, they're able to do arbitrary arrests and sham trials where they can imprison and fine peaceful unarmed protesters. Last week we had an 11-year-old boy tried for protesting. So, as you said, it's clear what they want is just power and taking complete control over the country. So besides reinstating Hamdok as prime minister, the agreement is nothing but an attempt to legitimize the military coup. The current structure is no longer a civilian-military partnership, despite the articles indicating that this new transitional period will create a new political framework. The reinstatement of Bashir loyalists, you know, we've been seeing since the military coup took place, they got rid of, you know, all civilians in leadership positions, and they just reinstated Bashir loyalists to the previous authoritarian regime, dissolved the anti-corruption and fraud body that was put in place to investigate the ousted regime's corruption. They put an abrupt end to the work of the investigations into the June 3rd massacre that was carried out by RSF and supported by the military. It all shows that the true desire to go back to the previous corrupt landscape. So even all attempts by the international community and the UN to support, as they say, the transition to democracy in 2023 is simply just shoving the agenda of the US, the Troika, and the EU down the throats of Sudanese people, and we continue to resist. We resist the international meddling, we reject the sham agreement, and we protest all the human rights violations against the Sudanese people who have just been exercising their constitutional rights just to say no to the military.
And I guess, I mean, in that kind of context, I guess, what can you kind of tell us, I guess, in terms of the movement, like, you know, some of the kind of demands that are now being put forward by the protesters in Sudan, especially since, you know, I've been kind of hearing, like, comments kind of response to this from people within Sudan and from the movement that essentially the kind of attitude between amongst this kind of movement is that they do not want to compromise at all. They do not want to accept any kind of future where the military has kind of any power. And I guess want to kind of hear some of your comments on that, especially in terms of what the protest movement is really kind of demanding in light of all these kind of developments and concessions that you know, the military is trying to offer and not necessarily doing anything.
You're absolutely right, Jacob. I mean, since the independence of Sudan from British rule, we've simply just had one military government after another with a very, very short, super brief, a few months of democracy. So the demands, we have the experience of being ruled by the military, and it has proved to fail since the creation of Sudan as a nation. We've just had military governments that have just been one failure after another. We've seen nothing from them other than oppression. So the demands are quite simple and very clear. The people of Sudan are going out in the millions, organizing night protests in their neighborhoods, going out in millions marches, organizing. There's a sit-in in Darfur right now as we speak, and bravely standing unarmed in the face of extreme violence and live ammunition, chanting the local resistance committee's main slogan, which is no partnership, no negotiation, no legitimacy. meaning we are not willing to partner or negotiate with military genocidal terrorists, nor are we giving them legitimacy.
And I guess we're probably getting to the end of the interview. What can you tell us? Can you give us any kind of final comments you'd like to make? And also, in terms of like those who are listening right now, especially within Melbourne, can you tell us about any sort of details about any sort of upcoming kind of solidarity actions, or in general, how can people, you know, demonstrate solidarity with the protests and of the people of Sudan who are resisting this genocidal kind of military dictatorship, essentially?
Thank you, Jacob. Thank you so much for providing, you know, this platform of yours to shed lights on events in Sudan. I think the most important thing is to keep the conversation alive, ask what's happening in Sudan. There are many ways that trade unions in Sudan can work with their counterparts globally to strengthen their local governance and make sure that, you know, the needs of the people are met to continue their fight against the authoritarian rule. Unions in Sudan are sort of a new thing. It's just been subjected to, you know, crackdowns and oppression by all the previous authoritarian regimes. So we could need support in building. We could use support in building those alongside our counterparts here in Australia. You know, there's a lot of awareness raising also happening in Sudan with the way that they've been organizing the millions marches. They've been having different themes. So the one we had just yesterday was the theme was in solidarity with people living with disabilities and their contribution to the revolution, as well as their demand to live in a country that recognizes their needs and caters to them as equals. We had another march 2 days ago in Kalakla, more focused on women issues and shedding light on the gender-based violence that Sudanese women have been facing at the hands of the military. So there's a lot of activities happening like that, and the more light we're able to shed on them, the more their demands are, you know, get more like media attention and hopefully political attention as well. What happens is every time the local resistance committees call for a millions march in Sudan, you know, the Sudanese diaspora across the globe also organized rallies and events in the cities where they live. So every time there was a millions march in Sudan, we always had one here in Melbourne as well, and they're usually either in the city or in Footscray. So just look out for invitations for these rallies and protests on Facebook events, and just join us. Reach out to Sudanese people. Use the hashtags. The hashtags are extremely powerful. So the main hashtag for the revolution is Keep Eyes on Sudan. Keep Eyes on Sudan, or Sudan Coup. And the third and least, I think, used hashtag is No Turning Back, because we're not turning back anymore. So please use the hashtags whenever you can, and just join us and keep the conversation alive.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for that, Sarah. And, yeah, I think this has been a very informative interview for, and I think, you know, it is a very important, I think it is one of the most important kind of political movements that is kind of happening. And, you know, it is something that should absolutely be more widely reported in kind of mainstream kind of media. And, yeah, we're very happy that we've been able to give solidarity to this struggle. And, yes, we wish you kind of all the best. And, yeah, we'll definitely continue to promote all the rallies and the actions that come up, and also be doing more interviews in the future with different Sudanese kind of activists covering this. So, yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And freedom, peace and justice for all.